Now let us come to the Central Council of Indian Medicine, Ayurveda, Siddha, Yunani. Let us discuss the objectives and the composition of council. Let us now discuss the objectives. The most important objective is to maintain a central registrar on Indian medicine and revise the registrar from time to time. We have seen a lot of quacks. So typically the term what we use in India is jhola chhap doctors and whatever, you know. Non-qualified people who are practicing the stream of medicine without any proper qualification. So the most important objective is to maintain a check on that, because people just, you know, from whatever they read and just because they might be known in their particular area that okay, he has some knowledge, that does not mean you can practice that stream of medicine, right? So the most important objective is to maintain this registrar. Second, to prescribe the minimum standards of education in the Indian system of medicine, which is Ayurveda, Siddha and Yunani, what we also call the alternative system of medicine. But if you see, actually Ayurveda is one of the oldest system of medicine. It is really unfortunate that, you know, it was not much importance was given to it initially, but now I'm so happy that a lot of people are now moving towards Ayurveda, because it has given wonderful results in chronic ailments where, you know, there was no long-term solutions or a lot of side effects with the allopathy, where patients have found a lot of relief with Ayurveda. And so minimum standards of education, when we say that, you know, education has to be uniform when a student is getting his BMS degree, right? It cannot be that there is no proper infrastructure or is having different standards of education in different states. That cannot work. To advise the central government in matters relating to recognition of medical qualifications from second schedule to the Indian Medicine Council Act 1970. Qualities one must look in for an ideal medical practitioner: standard of profession, conduct, etiquette, and code of ethics to be observed by the practitioner. So very important points. Ideally, professional conduct of doctors has to be very good, and there are no two doubts about it, you know. Proper etiquettes, ethical, they have to be ethical, you know. It is because see, medicine at the end of the day, it's a noble profession. Patients look up to you like gods, and it is time that doctors follow the code of ethics, which is very important when you are treating a patient. The Central Council of Indian Medicine is also responsible to frame the regulations with respect to teaching of Indian medicines. The courses and the period of study, including practical training to be undertaken, the subject of examination and the standards of proficiency therein to be obtained in the university, board or medical institution for grant of recognized medical qualification. The standard of its staff, equipment, accommodation, training and other facilities for education in the Indian medicine, and the conduct of professional examinations, etc. So how the examinations are conducted, what are the facilities over there, training facilities over there, accommodation facilities, everything is important when we, so this is all the duty of the Central Council of Indian Medicine to frame the regulation so that, you know, all these things are followed properly. Now, what is the composition of this? Such number of members not exceeding 5 as may be determined by the central government in accordance with the provision of the first schedule for each of Ayurveda, Siddha and Yunani system of medicine from each state in which a state registrar of Indian medicine is maintained, to be elected from amongst themselves by persons enrolled on the register as practitioners of Ayurveda, Siddha or Yunani, as the case may be. One member for each of Ayurveda, Siddha and Yunani system of medicine from each of the universities to be elected from amongst themselves by members of the faculty or department of the respective system of medicine of that university. Such members not exceeding 30% of the total number of members elected under clause A and B as may be nominated by the central government from amongst persons having special knowledge or practical experience in respect of the Indian medicine, provided that until members are elected under clause A or clause B in accordance with the provision of the Act and the rules made there under, the central government shall nominate such number of members being person qualified to be chosen under the said clause A or clause B as the case may be, and the as the case may be, as that government thinks fit, and references to elected members in this act shall be constructed as references to members to so nominated. Let us now discuss the composition of this council. The president of the Central Council shall be elected by members of the Central Council from amongst themselves in such manner as may be prescribed of medicine, who shall be elected from amongst themselves by members representing that particular system of medicine. There shall be a vice president of each, that is Ayurveda, Siddha and the Unani systems. So now let's get on to the Bar Council of India. So we have completed with the medical. Let us now talk of the Bar Council of India, both as in relation to the functions and the compositions of the council. Let us now discuss the functions of the Bar Council of India. Most importantly, to lay down standards of professional conduct, how advocates need to conduct themselves, what are the etiquettes concerned with the legal matters. Also to lay down the procedures to be followed by its disciplinary committee for each state bar council. So every state would have its own council, and what are to lay down the procedure for disciplinary committee to safeguard the rights, privileges and interests of advocates, and to promote and support law reform, for example reforms domestic violence, rape, etc. So all these reforms, you know, when we talk of these topics, they are very sensitive topics, and it is one of the most important function of Bar Council as far as this is concerned. To deal with and dispose of any matters arising under this act which may be referred to it by a state Bar Council. To exercise general supervision and control over the state Bar Councils. To promote legal education and to lay down standards of such education in consultation with the universities in India imparting such education and the state bar councils. To recognize universities whose degrees in law shall be a qualification for enrollment as advocate, and for that purpose to visit and inspect universities, or cause the state bar councils to visit and inspect universities in accordance with such directions as it may be given in this behalf. Again, very important, the same what we discussed in the medical part, that a lot of colleges which don't impart proper education to the law graduates, they need to be de-recognized, and the standard of education has to be uniform across. So this is one of the most important functions of Bar Council. To conduct seminars and organize talks on legal topics by eminent jurists and published journals and papers of legal interest. To organize national conference on changing legal trends in India. Again, law is a very dynamic and a rapidly changing field, you know. You need to update yourself if you have to be amongst the top advocates. Continuing education is a must. So this is one of the most important functions of the Bar Council. Legal aid to the poor in prescribed manner, for example, free of cost provisions of advocate for poor people. Again, all people today cannot afford lawyers. So how do you help those people? So legal aid to be given to the poor in a proper prescribed manner as laid down by the Bar Council of India. To recognize on a reciprocal basis foreign qualifications in law obtained outside India for the purpose of admission as an advocate under this act. So whether students who are coming from other countries and studying over there, whether the degree is recognized over here or no, that is also very important. To manage and invest the funds of the Bar Council. Why? Because it's need to provide for the election of its members. So let us now discuss about the composition of the Bar Council of India. So the Attorney General of India, Solicitor General and the 16 State Bar Council. The members are elected for a period of 5 years, and the Bar Council of India elects its own chairman and vice chairman for a period of 2 years from amongst the members of the Bar Council of India. So this is broadly the composition. Let us now just glance through some basic terminologies, legal terminologies, which we have heard of, I'm sure. So I'll not get into explaining all of them, but just a glance through it. That is plaintiff, defendants, jurisdiction. For example, you know, if you whether the case falls under Mumbai jurisdiction, any other city. So appeal, cause of action, I'm sure you all must have, you all must be aware of all these terms: bail, arrest, cognizance, suit, damages, compensation, offense, breach, right, fundamental rights, statutory rights, contract, agent, power of attorney, deed. So these are broadly the terms. Few more terms in the next slide. Hostile witness, FIR, that is the first information report, witness, evidence, negligence, fine, complaint, complainant, warrant, search warrant, summons, injunction, affidavit, conviction, acquittal. Now, why I'm not explaining all this is, I'm sure you all must have, these are self-explanatory terms, defamation, omission, conveyance, intention, motive, trespass, nuisance, will, etc. So the Professional Conduct, Etiquettes, Ethics, Regulations 2002 and Amendments. First, Code of Medical Ethics, very important. Duties of physicians to patients. Duties of physicians in consultations. Responsibilities of the physicians to each other. When you are interacting with your fellow colleagues, what are your duties towards each other? Duties of the physicians to the public and to the paramedical profession. Unethical acts, misconducts, punishment and disciplinary action. If you see, all these topics are very important when we are talking of this topic, that is medical legal issues and ethics in healthcare. Let us now discuss a very important topic, which is the Code of Medical Ethics. Character of physician. What do I mean by this? As I said, you know, patients look up to their doctors as God, I would say. Even today, I would. It's not that with increasing competition, whatever people say, whatever the media says, but at the end of the day, a patient visits a doctor purely by trust. So the character has to be very good. Maintaining a very good medical practice, maintaining medical records. Now, when we say of medical records, today it is of paramount importance, because patient has been placed as a consumer now, and hence the medical legal issues where the patient can, you know, actually take the doctor to court. And if records don't support the doctor, then it's a big problem for him. So whatever the doctor is doing, the records of all such visits of the patients have to be maintained. And hence, record keeping has been always, you know, emphasized so much. But unfortunately today, even today, after so many issues have happened, so many cases have happened, still doctors don't maintain proper medical records. So maintaining proper medical records is of paramount importance when you are conducting your practice. Display of registration numbers. Again, whenever you are outside your board, your registration number needs to be displayed. When you are prescribing medicine, it has to be displayed properly. Use of generic names of drugs. Yes, because recently, if you have seen that generic drugs are being made available, and so because they are available much cheaper as compared to the branded drugs, and hence it is necessary to write down the generic names. Highest quality assurance in patient care. I don't need to emphasize more on this, because till the time you don't deliver that, till the time a doctor does not deliver that, you know, it is very difficult in today's time to maintain a good practice. Exposure of unethical conduct. Yes, that is very important. Payment of professional services in medical field, and evasion of legal restrictions. So these are a few codes of medical ethics. Let us discuss the duties of physicians to their patients. Obligation to the sick. See, this sounds very simple, but for the doctor, this is very important that he has to attend to all the patients who need him. Sometimes it becomes difficult, you know, especially when the doctor is, say, in the non-working hours. But as far as possible, it is important for the doctor to attend to his patients whenever they need him. Patients' secrecy, that is very, again, important. All the patients' data has to be maintained. You cannot just display it or share it with other patients, because a patient trusts you with all his medical records, you know. All forget the medical records, even their own personal problems sometimes they share with you. So it is very important for a physician to maintain all this secrecy. In case also, you know, now the latest rules are that if you are even displaying your before after pictures, like in like in dentistry, then you need to take the consent of the physician, where you are, you know, hiding the face, you are hiding the eyes, just showing the teeth. And this is also not for, I would not say it's for advertising, but for the patient to understand that if I'm in particular situation and if this treatment is rendered, then this is the kind of results I can expect because a similar patient has undergone this treatment. So obtain consent of the patient in case you are clicking pictures or taking videos or anything. Duties of physicians and consultations. Unnecessary consultation should be avoided. Again, very important, unnecessary treatments, unnecessary tests. Please avoid all those. Consultations for patient's benefit. The whole idea of consultation should be only that my patient has to be benefited. Punctuality in consultation. If you are giving a particular time to the patient, please understand that he or she is in pain. If you are giving him a time of 6 p.m. in the evening and if you yourself land at 8 p.m. in your clinic, then that's not right. Because, you know, they are coming to you because they have a problem. But we have to understand that problem. We cannot just say that, okay, they need me, so they will wait. It cannot work like that. So you have to be very punctual in the consultation. Statements to patients after consultation. Whatever consultation is being done, please give proper statements to the patients so that they can understand what is the treatment that is being offered. Treatment after consultation. If you are referring a patient to a specialist, so it is one of the very important duties of the physicians because you have to do only things that you are capable of or that you are good at. Don't try to attempt things that you are not good at. If you are not good at something or if you are not trained in that particular field, I would say, please refer the patient to a specialist. There is nothing wrong in it. So, say for example, in dentistry today, if I have to call an endodontist to the clinic, right? I have been trained in root canals, but there are certain cases which are very difficult, which would need a specialist. So I should have the professional judgment to do things which I can do, to refer things which I think are in interest of the patient and which can be done much better by doctors who have been specialized in that field. So there are endodontists who today, even MDS endo has undergone such a drastic change. There are doctors who are practicing micro endodontics, who are doing root canals under microscopes, and they are just focusing on that field. So if I feel that no, I don't have the requisite infrastructure or I am not trained with microendodontics, then let me refer the patient to, because for me the only important thing is I have to see that the patient is benefited. That should be the agenda. Fees and other charges, again, that has to be very transparent to the patient so that there are no last minute surprises for the patient. Now let us discuss the duties of physicians to the public and to the paramedical profession. So as doctors, the duties is also towards the public, to our fellow paramedics. So physicians as citizens, at the end of the day, we are also citizens. And what are our duties to the public is very important. Public and community health. Please participate in all such community health activities even if there are no benefits to you, because at the end of the day, you are a citizen, you stay in this country, and there is a section of society which needs your services. Sometimes, even if you are not paid for it, please go ahead and do it. So let me just share, I'm just talking from my point of view. So I have decided that 2 days in a year, I would offer my services for free. Does it cause any problem to me? No. Why? Because there are two ways of looking at it. First is, you are donating money, but you don't know how that money is going to be used. So in that case, I have decided that since I don't have control over that, let me do it my way. So in my clinic, for example, on my mother's birthday and her death anniversary, I offer services to the patients, extractions, dentures, everything for free. And that's one way of doing it. So I think if all physicians, I'm nobody to advise them, but still, if everybody takes it up as a duty, you know, that 2 to 3 days in a year, whenever I want. Let us decide those days when we are offering our services to the community where patients cannot afford certain treatments. Say for example today dentures, they are an expensive proposition for a lot of people, and they are so important because they are used to eat. So if we can offer them to a section of the society, why not? So we have these duties, and we should always, as law-abiding citizens, as good citizens of the country, offer these services to our fellow colleagues, paramedical profession, who are always working with us. So again, citing an example, we have our colleagues who are taking care of our, when I talk of myself, my dental lab technicians, my dental technicians, the people who visit me when they need my services. If as far as possible, I would not charge them. If I have to charge them for certain procedures where, you know, there is a cost that is being incurred to me, then I would do it on a cost to cost basis. So this is how we can help them as well, because see, everybody cannot afford high treatments, right? So we have our duties towards citizens, towards paramedics, towards the communities, and physician, it is very important for the physician to fulfill them. The Medical Council of India also talks of certain unethical acts, for example advertising. For now, what do I mean by advertising? By giving newspaper ads, by talking on various media platforms about I don't want to get into that, because that will open a whole lot of that's a different topic altogether. So advertising, the Medical Council, the Dental Council, it's against the code of ethics that you go and put up banners of yourself in on hoardings or newspapers or whatever. So but nowadays again we are seeing a lot of social media advertising that is happening, right? And what do I mean by social media advertising? You can talk of any platforms today. If you see Facebook or an Instagram or YouTube, whatever. So it is, I know of certain corporate chains on which the councils have given these restrictions, where they are not allowed to advertise the way they have been doing it. Because you know what happens is, with this advertising, people are also misguided to a certain extent. So when you say, for example, you know, people displaying rates of medical procedures, is that a good way to do it? I don't think so. Because when the patient reads it, for him it is just the cost, but he does not know the experience of the patient who is doing, of the physician that is rendering this treatment. He does not know the infrastructure of that particular facility. He does not know about the speciality of that particular person who is doing it. So when you are displaying rates, so what you are doing is basically you are confusing the opposite person, and in this case it's the patient. And hence it is very important not to indulge in advertising when you are running a medical profession. Patent and copyrights, running an open shop that is dispensing of drugs and appliances by physicians. So it is strictly prohibited for the physician to dispense drugs. What he or she can do is have some emergency medicines. And you know, sometimes you get samples from the pharma companies, and what we generally follow is giving it to the patients who are needy for free of cost. That is fine. Or emergency medicine, the chemist is closed at that particular point in time, and the patient wants some medicine, a painkiller or an antibiotic for that matter. That all can be dispensed, but it cannot be your primary source of income. Please understand that. Rebates and commissions from, you know, your referring patients to diagnostic facilities or certain labs for unnecessary tests. So please, those all are unethical acts and they should not be indulged in, because you know, you get a very bad name once you get doing into this, because then you will attract the same kind of people. Once people come to know that you are encouraging this kind of practices of rebates and commissions, then other companies will start approaching you, and then you will get a bad name. So you know, eventually it might help you for say for the first 2-3 years, but eventually you will not be able to survive. Secret remedies. As doctors, please don't keep anything secret. Whatever you are prescribing, the patient should know. It should, nothing should be hidden. Human rights, and euthanasia. Euthanasia, again, as a topic, it's a very debatable topic, because in certain countries, they are trying to make it legalized, but it is unethical, that's for sure. In India, it's still not allowed. And so broadly, these are the topics on unethical acts. Now let's talk of misconduct. So violation of regulations. So whatever regulations that we discussed, violating them is definitely a misconduct. Adultery or improper conduct, as a physician, you cannot do that. Conviction by the court of law. Sex determination is strictly prohibited now. Any facility, diagnostic facility, indulging in it, there is a penalty plus imprisonment. It is strictly prohibited. Signing professional certificates, reports, and other documents, and research. Let's talk of now the punishment and the disciplinary action. So this is a very sensitive topic when we say legal issues versus ethical issues. In legal issues, antitrust issues, NACOs, false claim and whistleblower suits, healthcare system malpractice, and tort reform. These are the broadly the few topics that are covered under this. In ethical issues, patient confidentiality, as I said, it's a must when a patient is revealing all the information. Sometimes this might even cross the line of, you know, giving out some personal information. It is very important to maintain all the patient confidentiality. Informed consent. What do you mean by informed consent? Inform the patient of whatever the procedure he or she is undergoing. And this does not mean just signing a consent. You have to explain them each and every point in the language that they best comprehend. You know, all patients might not be comfortable with English. Someone might say, please explain it to me in Hindi, and you have to do that. Sit along with a guardian or somebody who can explain it to them, you know. So it's very important to inform the patient before you start any procedure or treatment. Physician assisted suicide and euthanasia, again, these are not allowed. So these are a few terms. Autonomy, to determine the wishes of the patient, to protect their autonomy. Justice, to follow the due process, to determine limits on healthcare and treat all patients alike. Beneficence, to seek the patient's best interest and assess what's count goods to be pursued. So whatever is in the best interest of the patient, you have to assess that and give the best possible treatment. And non-maleficence, determine what counts as harms to be avoided. So broadly, these are the few topics, the terms that we have discussed. Again, as I said, this is just an introduction. This is a very interesting topic because it covers broadly the medical legal issues. When we say medical legal, if you see a few years back when this term was introduced, this was, if I'm not wrong, you know, 1986, there was a judgment where patient had been made as a consumer, and hence all the medical doctors were now under the Consumer Protection Act. So patient can just go and if they have any issues, they can just go and file a case over there. So that's how this medical legal issues started. And when we say of ethical, so for the doctor, the challenge is here now, though the trust factor, the patient has a lot of trust, but also understand the patient now has a right that he's a consumer of your services. And if he's not satisfied with your services, he can drag you to the court, right? So how to maintain the fine balance between your ethics, between delivering your treatment to the patients, taking care of the patient, doing what is in the best interest of the patients. These are all the topics that are going to be covered. So I think we have covered the first chapter, and thank you so much for your patient hearing. Thank you.